Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another True Crime Tuesday. I'm your host, Isabella.
And I'm Asta.
And this is Oddly Unexplained.
Listener discretion, you guys. This episode does contain themes of murder and drugs.
That's really it. This one's not too bad.
You say that now.
I say that now.
And we are sorry for not uploading, since in Australia we are technically on school holidays. We've both been, like, on and off holidays and stuff, and we haven't got a chance to meet up and talk, but we are doing it now.
Yes. Today I have a very special case for you, a case that is hard to find out about and has not really ever been in the spotlight of the media, a case of a young man who met his tragic demise that we have never quite solved. This is the case of Enrique Roman Martinez. On the 22nd of May, 2020, Enrique Roman Martinez, an army paratrooper, went out camping with a group of seven other soldiers from the Fort Bragg base in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
So are they on a place? So they are actually soldiers at this base?
Yes.
But they're just going out camping. Is this like...
It was Memorial Long Weekend.
Okay, so it wasn't like an assignment.
They're just going and hanging out.
Okay.
Now, the spot they decided to camp for the night was called Cape Lookout. Now, Cape Lookout is two islands. So, Cape Lookout is a point on these two islands. They almost make like a V sort of wishbone shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they can only be accessed by a boat. Now, it's a common camp spot because of its beautiful beaches and its interesting wildlife. Now, that night, the group went to bed at around 12.03 p.m.
That is a weird time. I'm just going to come out and say it. That is a really weird time.
We're going to get to a 911 call in a bit. And that's where I actually directly pulled that time. Almost all the times until after I play that 911 call to you are pulled directly from that. And they're all incredibly specific.
If it was me, and I'm pretty sure you as well, I would never say it's 12:03. I'd just say it's 12.
But I guess...
Or around 12.
If you're in the army,
still weird.
Yeah, it is odd.
It seems oddly specific.
And also, that's not 24-hour time, so, like, for using the army as an excuse, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's not like,
It's not... I don't know what it would be. I'm terrible.
No.
Like...
No.
But,
I don't
like,
know
that's
either.
That's not the excuse here.
No.
But anyway. Now, and when they awoke at around 8:30 a.m. in the morning, they discovered that Enrique was gone.
See, that's a normal time measurement.
That's a normal time. I don't know.
But Enrique is also missing, so, like, gasp.
Now... They then proceeded to search the island for about 11 hours.
11 hours!
Now, that's a long time. Now, supposedly, during that time, they were searching for a park ranger or Enrique himself.
Okay, so they were like, he's probably around here. How big was the island?
I don't know if I put it in here, but it might be, I think it was like 90 kilometers.
So it's not like 11 hours of driving.
No, you could drive that in an hour.
So it's
1 hour's drive.
What are they doing?
I don't know. Like, I also, obviously, maps aren't accurate, and I'm, like, the scale's off or whatever, but I don't think they're that wide, these islands, that you would be going back and forth. Like, I would get if they're, like, I don't know, 5 kilometers wide and 90 kilometers long. That might take you a couple hours, but not 11.
Because if it was me, since Enriquez is a grown man... And obviously you're a tent. Is there anybody else? Is there like a lot of people on the island or not really?
I don't know how many people there were, but I think from what I've read is that it's sort of spread out. Okay. And there's not assigned campsites. So you can legally camp here.
Okay.
But it's not like they're told you this is your camping block.
Okay.
So people are everywhere.
Okay. So, but still, he's a grown man. He's in the army. So I'm guessing he's like muscly or like at least...
I don't know.
A bit, like, physically...
Fit.
Able. Yeah, physically fit. Able to, like, go a long distance, and maybe people would see him as a threat. I don't see it as, like... In this case, I would most likely think that he went out to take a walk and got a bit lost.
Like, I feel like the only logical time you would search for 11 hours is if you were searching for, like, a child. You're searching for a five-year-old. A five-year-old could fit inside these sand dunes. They could be... in someone else's random tent, because they don't understand social constructs in a way that they understand. I can't just go and sleep in that person's tent, because it looks nice. So I think if it was If it was a young child, searching for 11 hours might be more.
But just an adult?
An adult, I don't think 11 hours worth of searching is helping you.
Because we get back to, he does have his own free will.
Yeah.
So,
but
I know, I have a vague idea about how the story goes.
Yeah. Now, there's something really odd. Now, as I said, they were supposedly searching for Enrique, or a park ranger. I don't know, maybe they need to report him.
Couldn't they just, like, call 911 or not?
I guess. They had phones.
Like,
but
what's the park ranger gonna do that you can't do?
The odd thing is, they ran into a group of park rangers at around 2 p.m. Now, when the rangers approached them and requested that they move their vehicles off the sand dunes, and during that time, during that interaction, they never once mentioned Enrique.
Not only do I find this disturbingly weird, to a point of, like, it's disturbing. Sorry, guys, that was my phone. I find it to a point of where it's actually super disturbing that they wouldn't mention their friend.
Like, even if you weren't that concerned at the time, it's only been a couple hours, he's a grown man. Like, wouldn't you say, like, hey, we haven't seen our friend in a couple hours, we're looking for him, but if you find a man wandering around seeming lost, just, like, tell him that we know he's missing or something.
Like, but to me, this suggests that they might have been doing something illegal.
Yeah?
Or there's something going on there.
Because I guess what you're saying is, like, they wanted to get the park rangers away as quickly as possible. But wouldn't you still mention, but I guess, I don't know. I still feel like that's weird, like, the idea of you going to jail on, like, I don't know, minor drug charges or something, over your friend being missing. Like, if you actually care about him, like,
maybe they just, it was in the heat of the moment, and I'm not condoning this. I don't want to seem like I'm condoning this. And they freaked out. They were doing, like, I know you talk about drugs and,
yeah.
What drugs were they doing?
Something, it's some sort of hallucination drug.
So, it doesn't sound like just, like, marijuana.
Yeah.
It's a bit more.
We'll get back into the drugs later, but, like, I get what you mean, but I still find it weird. But they finally called 911 at 7 p.m. Now, this is a ridiculous amount of time to not call 911. But
also, what were the park rangers going to do for you?
I think they just thought they needed to report him or something. Like, I guess they thought that was the sort of the chain of command. Almost like, I am at a park, so the official here is the park rangers. So that would be the official who would work on this if something was actually going on. But we are going to now play that clip for you.
Carter, I can't do 911. What's that? Just an emergency.
We are on Cape Lookout. We are at Cape Lookout Island, and between mile marker 46 and 47, by the jetties. And we lost our friend. We don't know where he has gone. And we're kind of worried that something happened to him.
Where's the last spot you saw him at?
We all went to bed last night, and when we woke up, he was not here, and we've been looking for him all day. We were trying to find the park ranger or their offices or anything, and so we went all the way to the ferry, and we found that we needed to dial 911. We weren't sure if that's what we had to do out here. So
yeah, we can get Park Service in contact with you, sir. Are you on Corbanks or Shackelford? Are you, like, close to Cape Lookout?
Yeah, we're on Cape Lookout.
Okay. Oh, I see where you're at. Okay. All right, and how long has he been missing?
I woke up at 8:30, and we've been looking for him all day. We weren't sure if we might be afraid that he might have hurt himself, but we're really not sure.
Okay, hold on 1 second. And you said between mile marker 36 and 37?
No, 46
and 46 and 47. Okay, yes, sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
And when was the last time you saw him?
So we all went to bed at 12:03. That's when we all decided to go to bed, and that is the last time we saw him.
Okay, hold on 1 second, sir. All right, sir, I'm sorry about that. What's the phone number you're calling from? Okay, and what's your name?
Alex.
And how old is he?
He is 22.
22?
Or 21, I'm sorry, 21.
Okay, and does he have any physical, medical, or mental conditions that we need to be aware of?
He did He wasn't diagnosed, but he did have suicidal tendencies.
Okay. Okay, and I just need a description of him. What's his race?
He is Mexican.
Okay.
He has black hair, brown eyes.
And what's his name?
His name is Roman Martinez, or Enrique Martinez.
Okay, and do you know what kind of...
Enrique, sorry, it's actually... I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. It's
no problem.
Enrique Roman, I'm sorry. That is
Enrique Roman is his name?
Yes.
Okay, and do you know what kind of clothing he was wearing at all?
So he was just, when we last saw him, he was just wearing blue shorts.
Do you know his height or weight at all?
I would say he's around 180, 185, and he's probably 5'6", 5'7".
Okay, and was anybody last seen with him, or do you think he went off by himself?
Oh, he had to have gone off by himself.
Okay.
Like I said, we all went to sleep.
Oh. Okay, and he would have left on foot?
Yes, that's the only way he had to. We only have two cars, and they're both still here.
Okay. Do you know of anywhere he may have gone on the island at all?
No clue. This is our first time being here, so
I gotcha.
We have no clue.
Do you know if he took any personal items with him?
We searched his tent, and everything is still there. He even left his phone in his wallet.
Okay, so he doesn't have any trackable technology?
No.
Okay.
No, sir.
Do you know if he might have any weapons with him or anything?
Negative.
Okay. And did he leave any notes, letters, or threats or anything?
We have looked through everywhere, and it's
nothing.
Not his phone. We don't have the password, so we can't look on that, but he
okay.
has not.
All right, sir, if you're able to, just try to find a recent photograph of him. We are getting in contact with Park Service to come make contact with you. If he does come back, just give us a call back immediately.
Yes, sir.
And that's it. I'm sorry, sir.
That's okay.
I first want to say, aside from him getting his name wrong three times, I know. Like, it's not that hard. I know all of my friends' first names and last names, and I wouldn't stuff it up by, like, their middle name and their last name. And was Enriquez Roman, like, did they call people call him Enriquez Roman?
I don't know if it was...
Or was it a middle name?
I don't know if it was a middle name. I don't think you would tell a 911 operator a middle name, though. So I think his name might have been Enrique Roman, but he called, like, his Enrique Roman, maybe there was a middle name, Martinez. But I don't think that they were, like... I don't think they were split names. I think they were together.
Still, it's weird.
It is weird.
And then, I'm filling in the blanks here, because Isabella told me this. When they said that he was, they said 5'7", and 180 pounds, which translates to kilos, which is about, how many kilos? It's like half, so it's about 90 kilos.
Yeah.
And then 5'7".
I don't know.
I don't know what centimeters
but, like,
that would be, but...
Just imagine, 5'7", 180. His actual measurements were around 5'3", and 120. Those are very varying. The difference between 5'3", and 5'7", is a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, I feel like...
Because you're around 5'7", right?
Yeah.
And that's a lot different to 5'3".
Yeah, like, I think that... If it was, like, 5'6", maybe he said 5'8", instead of 5'7", or 5'6", instead of 5'7".
It's just weird.
It's really weird.
Because, like, it's that much...
Yeah, like, it's a difference.
It's a big difference.
Now, another thing that really stood out to me is when the 911 operator asked the man who was making the call how old Enrique was. He replied, 22. No, wait, 21. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know, obviously, like, stressful 911 calls can be stressful because you're in an emergency situation, you have to try and explain it. But I feel like the fact that he did the same thing twice, like if it was just once, you said 22, oh wait, no, sorry, 21. Like, and that was it. But then it happened three times with the name thing.
Like, how well do you actually know
this
person?
How well do you actually know this guy? Now, obviously, like I said, 911 calls are stressful, but I still think it's odd. Now, a few minutes after Alex was the name of the man who made the 911 operator call. Now, once the call concluded, a ranger arrived at around 7:15 p.m. And almost immediately after the ranger arrives, they begin searching, as they need to make some progress before the sun goes down. But, if you remember, Cape Lookout is on an island.
Yes. Making the geographical search area very small. So the actual area that they need to search, it's not that big.
Oh, gosh.
Now, the ranger and the search team, they gather and they start at the group's campsite, which is Enrique's last known location, and they slowly move outwards. But there's nothing. There's, like, nothing. Now, this is really odd, considering the fact that you need a boat to get off the island, and the actual size of the island is only 56 miles, or 90 kilometers. Now, over the course of the next couple days, more and more people get involved with the search. Now, this includes the army, the Coast Guard, but still nothing, or at least nothing made available to the public, is found.
Weird.
So, they just find nothing, which is odd, because they have so many people searching.
That is really weird, because that's a huge search.
Yeah, and on a tiny island.
It seems almost like too many people.
Like,
every search should get a lot of people.
Like, the reason I say you could drive the island is an hour, is a common, like, if you're driving on a highway in Australia, a common, like, kilometers per hour is 90 or 100 kilometers per hour. And, like, I don't know, that's not going ridiculously fast. That's a common highway speed. So if this island probably isn't that because it's an island, but let's say it's 50 kilometers an hour. That's 2 hours to drive the entire course of this island. And 50 kilometers an hour is pretty slow.
That's weird.
I feel like that's really odd.
My mind's already going to aliens, dare I say.
Yeah.
But I know how this ends and I'm trying to steer away from it.
Now, as they search, they continue to find nothing. So the authorities working this case turn to social media for the second time, making an information plea.
Because this was 2020, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So they've already made one information plea, but they're making a second. So an information plea is essentially when you go online and the authorities give up some, they say, like, we have a missing man, his name is Enrico Roman, they have details about the person, and they say, if you saw or heard anything vaguely you think could be related, you don't even know if it has anything to do, but it was weird. They just want to know that to sort of get their investigation going anywhere. Now, it's around this time when they begin to look off of the island and even look for a person who may have assisted Enrique, on getting a ride off the island, as they slowly but surely run out of places to search on the island. Now, the reason that they need to look for someone who got him off the island is they can't find him on the island, and you have to get off to get to the back to the mainland, you have to have a boat. Now, I looked at ferry times. Now, I was only able to look at one of them because I only looked at the closest one to Cape Lookout.
Yes.
And even that one, it said the last ferry of the day was at 1 p.m., way too early. Mm-hmm. Like, they went to bed at 12:03, supposedly, and the earliest one was at 10 p.m., and if his friend's stories are correct, they were up at 8:30, so they would have found him.
And then another weird thing, they said he was suicidal, so is there any chance this is suicide?
I don't think so, once we get
Were they considering suicide at this point?
No. Okay. I think I never see anything about suicide mentioned literally anywhere else, except from this 911 call, and the farther we go, the more and more you'll start to realize, and might start to think, do these people actually even know him? So, like,
what?
It's kind of odd.
Even know him?
No. What I mean by that is, like, I don't want to go too much into it because it becomes more important later.
Okay.
But what I mean is, they weren't really friends. Like, the group of seven might have been friends, but we start to question how much they actually know Enrique. But anyway, now, the possibility of him running or even leaving the island is slim, as he had no wallet and therefore no ID or money. So he couldn't get on a plane. He couldn't catch a taxi. He also didn't have a phone, and he didn't have glasses. Now, he needs his glasses to see. So all those things, they weren't missing. They were just in his tent. So, like, this guy, I don't know where he went. And also, he wasn't wearing a shirt.
What? Okay.
So, like, I don't know.
It seems like you would get, I don't know if that's considered nudity because he's a man.
I don't know.
But it's still weird. I feel like, I know around our area there's definitely old men who cruise around without their shirts on.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
But I feel like that would have made it, like, I don't think you're getting on a plane without a shirt. I mean, didn't have any money. And so
this, some people do say, but what if this was like a plan? This is him faking his own death or running away from his life. But in order for that, he would have had to have money, phone, wallet, ID, and glasses somewhere nearby to leave without those things.
Okay, so maybe he had like a
but he didn't.
Different set of everything. No, okay.
Because this was a spur of the moment trip. This wasn't planned. Okay. This was the
how did they know this?
The group told them that.
Okay.
So, like,
the group is giving me suspicion.
Yeah. The Memorial Weekend happened, and they probably were like, well, let's do something fun. Why don't we go and camp out on the beach for a couple days? But, like I said, the idea of him running away seems very, very unlikely or almost impossible. But the authorities continue to search the island. Now, do you remember the information plea the Park Service put up? Well, they actually had someone come forward with a tip.
Ooh.
Now, I'm going to read the tip for you.
Okay.
He looks like the guy I saw Saturday standing on the step rails of a silver Jeep Wrangler with other people flying down the beach as they passed us. We were just past the last set of bathrooms on the south end. Now, that tip doesn't seem that odd. But this quote said that they saw him on Saturday. And Saturday is the day that he was found missing by his friends that morning. Now, according to the friends...
But if he was in an obvious place...
I don't know, it's odd. But the thing that's even more odd is that the friends' story had always been that they didn't even see him at all on Saturday. They went to bed on Friday night, they wake up the next morning, gone. So, like...
It's weird.
But, to make this seem even more likely, one of the cars the group brought with them was a silver Jeep Wrangler. So, like, why is this group lying? And also,
you can't see my face. But that shook me.
It doesn't make any sense. That's this whole case.
It's weird.
Now, the question obviously is this man actually him? Who is he with, if not the people he's camping with, because they were searching all day.
Because a silver Jeep isn't an uncommon car.
No, it's not. But it seems too big to be a coincidence.
Exactly. Especially if he looked like exactly like the...
Yeah. Now, obviously the tip could be about a different person.
Did she say he was wearing a shirt?
I don't know. But he always could have gotten a shirt from his tent. They didn't,
or
like...
just... Was it... Okay, so he just wasn't wearing his current shirt, not any shirt.
No, he wasn't wearing a shirt when he left. So when he went into his tent that night, he wasn't wearing a shirt. Okay. So that doesn't mean that he couldn't have put one on, but he wasn't wearing one when he went to bed.
Okay.
Now, obviously the tip could be about a different person, but it seems too much of a coincidence to be fake or about someone else. Now, obviously the park rangers agree with me, as 2 days later they put out another plea for information, but this time they asked specifically if anyone saw the exact same thing as the original tip. So they're obviously considering this, thinking this could be totally real. But, even more interestingly, on the same day the Rangers put out the third tip, partial human remains washed up on shore off the beach, just across from Cape Lookout.
What part of the human?
A head.
That is not partial. That is a big part.
I
would not call that partial.
But you don't have the whole body. That's all that washed up. That was just the head.
It is partial, but it seems like a pretty...
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Now,
if it was just a torso, wouldn't you be... I don't think you'd be able to ID it.
Yeah, you could. Depends if you had DNA or...
Oh.
I don't know. Depends.
Still, it's weird with the faces, just so, like...
It's obvious. Unless it's decomposed.
Still, like, there's teeth and stuff?
Yeah. Well... Getting on to that, the park rangers suspect almost instantly that these are the remains of Enrique. But they don't get confirmation until the next day through dental records.
Yes!
We love dental records. Predicted
it! Called it!
Now, after this, an autopsy was performed. But it didn't really turn up anything new for investigators, and this was in big part to the fact that the only body part they had was his head.
Wait, so it's disconnected for their own?
Yeah.
It's just the head is decapitated.
So, like, you can't really autopsy a head that well.
Mm.
But they did. And the medical examiner could not determine a cause of death due to the lack of evidence. but there were some injuries that were able to lead the medical examiner to a manner of death. Now, some of the injuries include chop injuries, a broken jaw, cuts, and a fractured cervical spine. So, weird injuries. Weird. And by chop injuries, I mean like a weapon.
Not just, oops, I cut myself on a stick.
Yeah, like, I imagine an axe, but it could be something else. Like, they don't list the weapon because it's hard. Unless you have the exact one, you can't check if it fits, if it's the right, like, if it would have been thick enough to go through the skull or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
But, like, you know what I mean?
Mm, yes.
But that's what I'm imagining, but it's possibly not that. Now, due to the lack of the rest of the body, the amount there is to go off is tiny. But one thing the medical examiner could say for sure is that the chopper injuries are not due to an animal or other causes.
Okay, and there are, like, you said wildlife, right?
What do you mean?
Like, there was wildlife.
Yeah, yeah, there's like, plenty of wildlife.
More than just, like,
now,
a magpie.
The reason I say that is the body did have signs of, this is going to sound really gross, but there were no eyes and other soft tissue parts were missing, and that's due to animal scavenging, which is really gross. Axe's not liking that.
I need to, like, hold my eyes.
But
that's to make sure they're still there.
That's why the medical examiner says that.
Good news, guys. They're still there.
She's still got eyes. But because some of his soft tissue was missing due to animals in the water. But finally, the medical examiner concluded that with the amount he had, the death was most consistent with homicide. So we're getting a case here.
Okay, just a quick review. We have a head with, like, cuts that look like axes and no eyeballs.
Yes. Lovely. We're going great. Now, shortly after his death was ruled a homicide, the case was passed to the Army's Criminal Investigation Unit. Now, shortly after, the FBI joined the case, and Enrique's remains were passed on to his family. And shortly after the autopsy report was released to the media, so this is over the span of months. So I'm saying shortly, but it's not really shortly. There's months in between, but things are happening. Things are changing.
So they just, like, gave the family the head.
I think it's really weird, but, like, wouldn't you want to have a burial? Like, that's, like, that gives people closure.
Mm.
At least, I mean, with some cases, like, I know with the case of Ellen Ray Greenberg, which we will be covering, it's just, the information is so hard to find. But, for example, a piece of her skull, her spine was just with a medical examiner for, like, 5 years. Like, they just never give it back. So, I mean, at least that didn't happen.
It's like a head rattling around in there.
It's a bit weird.
It's odd.
This is obviously a weird case. Now, shortly after the autopsy report was released to the media for the first time, and not too long after that happened, the park rangers at the beach near where Enrique was staying with his friends that fateful night, you're not going to like this, Astor, declared that the beach will be closed for the next 6 days for joint training exercises. Now,
sure, it is. It's only for joint training exercises.
The people at these joint training exercises were the U.S. Park Service, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the Army. Now, a couple days into that joint training exercise, the authorities confessed that the FBI's dive team was searching the surrounding waters for evidence in Enrique's case. So, I mean, I don't know why they couldn't just say that. Like, we're searching waters, get off the island. Like, joint training exercises? I don't know about
that.
That's
weird.
Now, but after the case appeared to have stopped, as nothing was being released to the public about the case, but, in fact, in February of 2021, the Army's investigative team had Enrique's body exhumed and re-examined by a second medical examiner. Now, this examiner entirely agreed with the first in the fact that Enrique's death was definitely a homicide, and he was decapitated by a human.
A human, okay.
A human.
A human.
Yes. Now, a couple months later, the authorities seemed to have a shift in the way they interacted with the public, as the things they started saying were things like homicide solely means that a person's death was caused by another human being. It does not mean that someone intended to kill another person. They also came out in public...
It's almost like that...
But that's not homicide. That's manslaughter. I know my legal terms.
And is that's like accidental death as well.
If you drive over someone with your car, that's not homicide.
It's manslaughter.
Unless you intended to drive over them with their car. Homicide has much greater charges than manslaughter.
Okay, so
they're not the same thing. I don't know what they're meaning by that.
It's weird. It's also like a bit like, you know, murder is... It's like they know something.
The army aren't lawyers.
It's like they're getting themselves prepared to release something. That's how
I know. It's really weird.
It's like, you know, guys, it seems like they're setting themselves up for that exactly, you know?
Now, they also came out and publicly said that it was possible it was a boat that had decapitated him and caused the chop marks.
Didn't they say that it was human? Didn't they rule it human?
Yes, but if you remember the medical examiners, both said that it was not a boat. But the army then asked for a very specific piece of information this time. Now, most of the other times when they did put out information, please, they weren't this specific. Because this time, they asked for anyone who was driving a boat that night. Anyone. So, it's...
In the area.
In the area.
Not
they
like...
They don't care about some guy in Australia driving a boat. It
fishing,
was you.
Going fishing.
It was you.
You did it. You Australian person.
I don't get this, though, because both medical examiners clearly said this was not a boat, this was not a shark, this was a person.
That is weird. I would listen to the medical advice.
Two of them. They didn't contradict themselves.
Two of them. It's like, hey, guys, it's not a boat. It's not a boat. But maybe it is.
Maybe.
And how do you decapitate? You know what? I don't want to think about it.
Boat propellers. But, like, why was he swimming? That's my question.
Yeah, that's
why was he swimming?
It's like, you know, I went out at, like, between 12:03 and 8:30.
By myself.
And
just did a little swim. Out deep enough that there were boats with propellers.
Yeah. And none of them saw me.
Yeah, they just drove over my head.
Yeah. Which totally happens accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that always happens accidentally.
They also specifically asked for anyone who had hit something with their boat.
Like,
you hit a human?
Did you?
Maybe.
I think you would know. I feel like you would know by, like,
a noise or, like, the water.
Or, like, blood.
The head.
Just floating. Or, like, you know, the rest of the body.
And then, like, if it was a boat, who did the chop marks? Where did the body go? Why did it not wash up
at
shore?
Maybe the person was like, oh crap, I decapitated them.
I'll just leave their head.
Chop, chop! Throw their head, take their body with me back home while I'll hide it somewhere.
But why? Like, I don't get this. If you ran over someone with your boat and you wanted to cover it, you just drive away.
Rinse the blood off your propellers and just...
You'll be fine. Or don't. The water will do it for you.
Bleach.
Like, I don't understand. That would have been very dumb. Now, we're gonna move on. Now, another thing that the army alluded to was the investigation into illegal drug use, such as LSD.
Yes.
Yeah, and drinking.
What is LSD?
That is the hallucination drug that I talked about.
Okay. So it's, like, hallucinogenic. So you, like, are like, ooh.
Yeah. That's the point of it. Now, and drinking on that night. But the thing is, the medical examiner did not find any traces of drugs or alcohol in Enrique's system, even though, according to his sister, he was the one who supplied the drugs.
So, he was supplying the drugs but not taking them.
But I guess this could always be like, he was the guy who knew a guy. Like, and then he...
Like, I know a guy who can go to drugs, but I'm not gonna take them.
Because maybe he's trying to make friends, whatever.
Like, here's some LSD. Let's be best friends.
Like, I don't know. It's a bit odd, but anyway.
I feel like it's an instant red flag if they don't, like, if someone gives you a drink and then they don't, like...
Drink it themselves?
Exactly. If you just have a cup there and it's like, did you just poison
me? But, like, if I hand you... I don't know. It's odd. But I guess he could always be trying to make some friends.
Here's some LSD. Best buddies.
That really concludes all the solid evidence we have at this point. Enrique's case is still unsolved, but we're always looking for more things. We do have a couple little things we're going to touch on, some odd details. Now, the first, obviously, is, we touched on this at the beginning, that 12:03 is a very specific time.
Right now, the time we're doing this at is 2:02. I would say it's 2, not, oh yeah, I was recording a podcast with Isabella at 2:02.
Like, it's odd. And I feel like it's one of those weird details. If this was the only weird detail from the seven friends in this entire case, I wouldn't think it was that odd.
Exactly.
But it's not.
It's not. There's multiple. And then the friends never mention why they waited 11 hours.
Like, even if you, like, for example, if one of my friends missing, I would want to search myself. I get that.
Yes.
But I would also call 000.
Especially if you just, like, disappeared from a tent or something.
Yeah, like, if I went camping with you and I woke up and you were just disappeared.
Like, I would just assume that I'd, like, gone for a walk or gone for a little drive.
Yeah, but,
or,
like, if I look for, like, maybe an hour and think you've just wandered off, then I'd call 000.
Exactly.
Because I'm not going to just sit around and keep looking for 11 hours.
Exactly. Because I could be anywhere by,
like,
then.
Call and then keep looking.
And then by 11 hours, you could literally be in a different state.
Call while you're looking. Like, it's dumb.
It is, because it's not like you have to stop looking.
Because if you're worried that something, that he's hurt himself, he's running away or something, you call the police, they're going to make sure he can't do that. Because they've alerted authorities in different states, surrounding states, park rangers are looking.
Because by 11 hours,
he could be so far away.
He could be on a plane to Australia.
And you wouldn't even know.
Exactly.
So, like, I think it's just, even if it's entirely innocent, it's dumb. Now, the other thing is that they weren't really friends. Well, we don't know that. That's my suspicion. The way they talked about him, they didn't seem to really know him. And also, like, it seemed like a very, from the vibe that I'm getting from this, is that the seven of them knew each other, but they didn't know Enrique. Maybe he was new to the base. Maybe they just invited a new guy to be nice.
Yeah, and
hey, you come.
What if they offered him LSD?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Did they get arrested for drug charges?
I think maybe some of them are being charged.
I think so.
Because I think there's something about drugs going on here.
Did they just admit to taking the LSD?
I didn't feel like diving into the drug side.
I'm going to look up what LSD is.
Anyway, now another thing is, going back to the friends, there wasn't a very public investigation about them.
Oh,
now,
gosh.
Before this case was handed over to the army, it was very public. We knew things, we were getting regular updates from the Park Service, from his family. It was very open, because they figured it was a missing persons. Missing persons case are almost always very open to the public, because the one person, you know, you saw him in your hotel room, like in the hotel room next to you last night, you saw him on the news. Suddenly, boom, we found him. That's how missing persons cases worked, but after it was ruled a homicide, that stopped.
And so LSD, I looked it up, it stands for lysergic acid dithlamide.
Great.
I butchered that term, but it makes everything very intensified.
Yeah. Now, there wasn't any public investigation about the friends, which is odd, but, like, I don't know. I feel like when you investigate, you start from the people they were last with, the place they last were, the things they last did, and move out.
Yes.
Because that's just how you do it. That's the most common, that's the most logical sense way to do it. And that doesn't seem to be how this investigation was operated.
Yes.
And I feel like it's not like Ellen, it's not like the Genesee River Killer. The police did a good job on this case. But
the cases you need to cover.
There are two that I need to cover. They just
have, yes.
I have so much, and I don't want to write them. No, that's not why. That's not why. No. Ellen Ray Greenberg has been very difficult to write, because the information just isn't. I know things I need to find, but a lot of information hasn't been made public about that case, or because it's old, stuff has been removed, stuff has been covered over, so it's harder to find those raw details, where it is like with this one, because it's only 2 years old. And Genesee River Killer, that one's coming, I promise. But I just think it's odd that they weren't really investigated. And the last thing I want to touch on before we wrap this episode up is that Enrique Roman Martinez was only one of 44 Fort Bragg soldiers died by suicide or homicide in 2020. 44.
How many people were on the base?
I don't know. But I don't know anything about military bases.
What?
So that's not a good reference. But even if it's 20,000, 44 is still a lot.
It is. It's
like,
a
it
lot.
It doesn't matter how many people were there. That's a lot.
Homicide? Who's killing these people?
What is going on in this case?
Okay.
But we're going to have to leave this.
Yes, it is a long episode.
If you know anything about the case of Enrique Roman Martinez,
contact the authorities.
Yes. Even if you live in, I don't know, Italy.
Australia.
You can call overseas authorities, organizations. And also, if you call your local, like, if we were to call 000 with actual information.
Because, wait, just for a reference, that's what we have instead of 911.
Yeah.
But if you call 911 in Australia, it would lead you to 000.
Yeah. So, and you tell them you have information about an American crime case, they'll transfer you. So, like, if you don't want to go searching, you
000, sorry, not 000.
Both.
People they both work?
You can't do O like the letter.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
And remember to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Oddly Unexplained Podcast. Visit our website at www.oddlyunexplained.com and you will find all of our blog posts, our sources. We'll include some photos, things like that. Yep, so there'll be like websites and not websites and
blogs.
Stuff, blogs and stuff on our website. You can contact us at oddlyunexplained@gmail.com and remember to join in the conversation. What did you think happened?
Who knows?
Who knows?
All right, thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye, and remember to lock those doors, or maybe your tent door. Either way, lock those doors.